It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
So yesterday in Cooperstown at Doubleday Field, the East-West Classic, the MLB Hall of Fame East-West Classic, it looked absolutely amazing. A celebration of black baseball in honor of the new exhibit at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum called The Souls of the Game, Voices of Black Baseball. Our friend Doug Glanville was there, and he told me one of the things he thought of was this song by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Wake up, everybody. Wake up with Hit and Run this morning. Wake up with me, Spiegs, and Doug Glanville, who joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Doug, appreciate the time. Always love talking to you. Why did you think of this song when I asked you this morning, sir?
Hey, Matt. I mean, it's one of my favorites. And Teddy Pendergrass and Philadelphia Soul, you know, my Hall & Oates roots as well.
Yes.
And I thought of it as a game of, like, you know, a song of honesty with such a touch of optimism, but also just calling things out. You know, you just and when I think of that experience, you know, at the Hall of Fame, I think of, like, yeah, you're trying to teach something a new way. You're trying to do something differently. And some of it is revisiting things that have happened and seeing it in a new light and sharing that. And I think that they did a great job accomplishing that this weekend.
14 Hall of Famers serving as coaches: Harold Baines, Ken Griffey Jr., Fergie Jenkins, Fred McGriff, Eddie Murray, Jim Rice, my guy, Lee Smith, Ozzie Smith. I mean, Dave Winfield. That must have been unbelievable to be hanging around with all of those guys and you in Negro League uniforms.
Oh man, it was surreal. I mean, I just thought, like, anytime I went to get water or, you know, put on pine tar, I passed by, like, Joe Torre and all the insights. It's just incredible. But like you said, it was a brotherhood. It wasn't like they were kind of on the podium. You had a chance to talk and have dinner and sit down, and that was really important. And so we really broke bread and we connected through the game that we love and through the history that we share. So, it just nothing could have gone wrong. You just had such a great time.
All right, so pine tar, that means you swung. How'd you do, Doug? How's the body?
Yeah, I'm a little sore, and I didn't do anything. You know, I'm not like, thankfully, not injured or anything. Unfortunately, like, Jerry Hairston Jr. like popped a hammy on a great play, by the way, in the hole, and he was like, I trained for this. I was like, I didn't train. I like hit off the tee, but I felt good. You know, I think there are certain things that come to back to you, and you know, my wife was a competitive ice skater. And she said, well, I used to, you know, I relied on muscle memory, except I realized none of those muscles are there anymore. So, you know, but you found a way. And I think that we all were in it together to kind of, it was sort of a cooperative competition. And I think that kind of pulled out the best of us because we were all pulling in the same direction.
Yeah. So you mentioned Jerry Hairston Jr., Scott Hairston's there. a ton of former players like yourself in uniform. Ryan Howard finished it with a walk-off home run.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the thing was, you know, you felt the energy of the game, and the thing that I felt most happy about later is we went back to the Hall of Fame after the game, and we just had a signing gallery. You know, everybody just came through, hundreds of fans, and they all said, you know, you guys just had joy. You know, you just had fun, and it was back and forth. It turned out to be a really good game. And I mean, it was like this, you know, scenario of like the natural, right? What, Ryan Howard steps up, we're down by two. It's like two outs. It's a home run to right field. And it was like unofficial walk-off because we did our celebration dog pile. And then we realized, well, because there was supposed to be a clock too. You only can play 2 hours because, you know, we're old. So they were thinking, and then we said, all right, let's play another inning. So it was sort of a walk-off interrupted. And then Adam Jones, you know, from center fielder of the Orioles, played shortstop because that's how he came up.
Wow.
And made this, like, incredible play in the game, like, up the middle, pirouette. And I'm sure he's still on that today. But, yeah, it was incredible. And I did, you know, I hit a ball right center, and Dexter Fowler, I'm like, dude, come on. Like, he made way too good of a play at our age. Like, he's just, you know, practically laid out. I'm like, what are you doing, man? So he robbed me in the gap. But I did walk and score, so that was it was a ton of fun.
Oh, God. Why? There's so much here, Doug. Why are old-timers games not an absolute staple for every franchise in MLB? There's so much joy available. Is it insurance that gets in the way? I don't know.
Probably. I know. Well, you remember they had the senior league in Florida?
Yeah.
They started the senior league. It was like all the old heads. I think it's because, like, I look at the weekend and so much more happens around the game. Like, it's not like, oh, your normal pregame warm-up. I mean, we were at the Hall of Fame. We had ceremonies. And I think, you know, watching, for example, Ozzie Smith give a speech, you know, because he serves on the committee around education at the Hall, and he gives a speech, and you kind of see how you can reinvent yourself. Like, he's, one of the great shortstops of all time, but yet here he is in a new life, passionate about it, still connected to the game, and being someone different professionally. I just think, you know, when you see that, it's just important to get that reinforcement around mentors and people in your generation coming together, realizing you're not alone. And the exhibit, The Souls of the Game, was kind of that story. You talk about black baseball, and you realize, like, you know, first of all, it's woven in the fabric of all baseball, and it's always been everywhere. But also the fact that when you have this experience unique, whether in society or on the field, it's important to know that you're not in solitude, right? Your experiences matter, and that other people, they kind of validate that. And to do it with, you know, such a celebration around a game we all share and love, that was really powerful.
What was your role, Doug? And we're talking to Doug Glanville here on Hit and Run. What was your role in the events of the weekend? Because you've obviously become an incredible voice on baseball, on race, on society, sport in society. Classes in session on Marquee is just phenomenal. There have been Emmys. You're a professor at UConn. I mean, my goodness. So what role were you utilized in over the course of the weekend?
Well, the beauty of that is I was kind of able to just be myself, and part of it was I was on the committee that helped put the exhibit together. Mm-hmm. So I worked with that, and, you know, periodically would zoom in or do these private Zooms using a lot of stuff from my class about sport and society. So I think I brought that to the table in going into, you know, helping the exhibit come to life. And then from there, you know, just being that kind of ambassador, you know, within the team and just talking through players. I have a good relationship with Ken Griffey Jr. and just, you know, talking to him before and just sharing, you know, stories, but also just kind of figuring out where do you go from here, right? You preserve it, you have this exhibit, and now it's open to everybody. And, you know, the best way to do that is to play the game with enthusiasm where the fans make it memorable.
Well, hold on, Doug, we've got a little disruption on the phone line. Do you think that's a weather-related issue, Sean? Is that what you think?
I think so. The rain just started picking up here.
Okay.
I'll put him on hold. We'll try and get him back here in a second.
All right, we'll try and grab Doug back here in a second. Because this is some of the best stuff that we can use a talk show for to talk about this stuff. Just absolutely terrific. And look in that event. looking at that event, I'm just so much envy for the entirety of the weekend. Doug, sorry, I think we got back with the phone line. Now it's interesting that you mentioned Ken Griffey, because one of the smiles on his face as he's getting ready to shake Monet Davis's hand there in the handshake line. It's like, and we've all known that joy from Ken Griffey Jr. And to see him now with the white goatee is jarring on some level, but so much joy there. But like just like Ozzie Smith, I mean, there's an opportunity for Ken to continue to make a difference here in the back half of his life, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, Bob, because I remember talking to someone about how Junior has really taken on this role that sometimes you don't expect from, first of all, this mega talent. You could see him like, hey, let me just kind of ride off into the sunset and just do my thing. But he's engaged. I mean, he's true an ambassador, and he's kind of had a second life in certain ways, because a generation of players went through the game where he was their favorite player.
Yep.
In fact, when we, during the ceremonies before, we did that sort of little league intro, like, hey, my name's Doug Glanville. I'm playing for the Chicago American Giants. And, I was a designated hitter, and my favorite player is, right, or was. And so many of the players said Ken Griffey Jr. So we kind of brought him back in that part to just, sort of endorse that. And he did something funny about that, too. So, you realize that it is the river of baseball, right? It's that flow that always goes through history. And baseball keeps that history so close in such a way. I don't think any sport can really claim the same, because you have 162 games. You look to your right and your favorite player from growing up as your outfield coach, and you just kind of like everywhere there's like guys on the team that like grew up liking you and what as a favorite player, because it was 10 years apart. And you just sit there and go, does time ever have any delineation in baseball? It doesn't ever seem like, and that's something that's really powerful about the game.
You know, I'm kind of swimming in that stuff all weekend across the game. Joe Buck was talking the other day about how his dad, he and Chip Carey were supposed to do a game together in St. Louis on Friday, but it got rained out. He's talking about how his dad developed his voice by reading the sports page to his father. Like, so Jack, it's this sense of timelessness where it just keeps on going and keeps on going. And Justin Steele last night in the Cubs Cardinals game was talking about how a transformative moment for him was when Jimmy Rollins threw him a baseball when he was he was a kid seeing a Braves Phillies game. And so it's like it's those bits of connectivity. I don't think any other sport really does offer it in that way across races as well, which is so, so beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And, that's how I met Dansby Swanson. That's how I met him. I was doing a Braves game, and it was, I think it was Braves Padres. And, Dansby's really outgoing, and I was on the field. He just walks over to me. I'd never met him before. And he says, oh, I got a story I got to tell you. Hold on. And he hits. He comes back. He's like, I met you a long time ago. You signed my program when I was like 10. Wow. At a Braves game, and I always remembered that, and I appreciated that. That was it. Like, I hadn't talked to this guy ever, and it's like 15 years later or more, and that's what he remembered, So you just never want to take any of these moments lightly, but also recognizing, as you said, it transcends. It really transcends a lot of things that are these constructs sometimes that are divisive at times and could be celebrated more, and that's what I felt in that event. Yes, it's souls of the game celebrating Black voices in a sense, but it's all of our voices and all of these voices. It's supposed to be a celebration on how a group of people have been through all these things in the history of this country, but also shaping the game. And then you find it's international. It's more diverse than you could even imagine. It's like you see a sea of color, but then you realize, oh, this person's from Trinidad and Antigua and Cuba, and then you're like, oh, this is all of us. This is all of us. This is us.
It's a really interesting point, Doug, and we're talking to Doug Glanville on Hit and Run, because they just keep connecting it to the weekend. There's Adam Wainwright on the broadcast last night saying how one of his favorite players is Christopher Morel. Loves watching the energy of Morel, right? And I happen to be wearing an Aguilas hat right now, which is where Morel played winter ball, got a chance to be there and see that. I see that yesterday, Jose Contreras is there. Melvin Mora is there. So how do you incorporate that, or how does the Hall of Fame or baseball look to incorporate sort of Latin blackness with American blackness? And is that represented in the exhibit at the Hall of Fame?
It is. It is. And Roberto Clemente, Pedro Sierra, who is one of our, you know, emeritus coaches as well. I think where we can underscore it from like an American point of view is that when Jackie Robinson broke in, it really was a color line. I mean, it's important to underscore it was a color line. It was like dark or light, you know, that was it. And because when you go back to the Cuban team, the national team, or the champions in 1947, where he had spring training in Havana, the Dodgers did, they were very diverse from a color standpoint. But in America, it was like, here's the line. And so there was a lot of people looking on across the world with darker skin that knew that he meant so much more than America, that that acceptance and that welcoming and that door opening meant something to the Panamanians and the Cubans and everyone else. I mean, think about the Dodgers went to spring training in 47, and they segregated the teams in different their team in different hotels. They put the black players over in the hinterlands, and everybody else got to stay in the nice luxurious hotel. And the Cuban, from the Cuban perspective, it's like, well, you know, you're exporting segregation when we're not even asking for it. And I think that, you know, when you come from that history, then everybody starts to celebrate whenever you see a person that could be this moment that allows everybody to be truly on the same team.
So that's interesting. So is that why the terminology then is not African-American baseball, but it's black baseball as far as the
correct
exhibit?
Yes. Yeah. And I think there was a lot of thought going into it and knowing that, you know, you could definitely have to be mindful of how terms change. And this is what's so challenging on putting an exhibit together in the first place. But it was a recognition that this has to transcend and has to cross cultures, because eventually you come back home and you see it as all of our culture, right? That this fabric of, quote, black voices, black baseball, really is always flown through the spirit of this, whether it's a color line or whether how, you know, people are identified or classified. And I think from there, you kind of see, you know, all these moments of baseball through whatever lens you're looking at.
Doug, the first time I went to the Hall of Fame was on a father-son trip with my dad. And we stayed at some, you know, little rinky-dink hotel not too far away. And we went, I think, four times to the museum over the course of 2 days. Because you can, like, you know, hopefully you can still do it this way where you get the ticket and it lets in. You can go for a few hours, go leave, go get lunch, come back, whatever. I need to do it again. Tell me something that you love that's in that exhibit that you're proud got in there that people can see if they make the trip.
Well, all right. Well, it's called, you know, Souls of the Game. My favorite part is, as a writer, is loving to see all the letters that were kind of, you know, reprinted or original form that are making the argument for why you need integration in baseball, like why it's important, and need, not just because, you know, black baseball and the Negro Leagues didn't have a lot of business success. And keep in mind, the Negro Leagues kind of died after Jackie Robinson slowly. Because, you know, so the trade-off, and one of the letters talked about the trade-off for this better world where we're all together as people really hurt black business. I mean, and so, you know, that sacrifice made sometimes on one side of the ledger for one group of people always seemed categorically unfair, but there was a hope and a vision for what could be. And that was sort of worth it in a lot of sectors. And so there's all these letters, like, you know, Wendell Smith making the case like, you know, hey, there's some great baseball players who are black. Well, come on now, let's get it together. Like you say this is a sport that's supposed to be the best, and we'll go get the best from wherever. Who cares what someone looks like? Those cases and those arguments were really fascinating. And I think they're, you know, displayed really well there. But I mean, the Hall in general, you know, just the landscape is so rich.
I love that for the writer and the thinker. The representation of the ideas that eventually made the change happen. That's what gets to you that's really cool. Couple more minutes here, just real quick with Doug Glanville. All right. Tell me a conversation that you had with somebody that you were able to be with, one of those Hall of Famers or anybody that, like, man, we just connected and it took it to a new place this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, Rhino, seeing Ron Sandberg, I mean, you know, heartfelt because of what he's going through with prostate cancer. And I talked to Saron Dunstan, I talked to Gary Matthews, and I was kind of upset because I was like, guys, we got to do better talking to each other about our health and all the things like guys stereotypically don't talk about. And I think that that plea, you know, I know Dunstan calls Rhino all the time. I called Rhino, had a long talk with him, exchanged love, and then I saw him. I didn't expect to see him, and he was there, and it was just awesome. So that conversation was so different, you know, just about the appreciation. I told him the story about how he came down to a minor league rehab assignment, which, you know, I've told him a couple times, but I reminded him. He came down a minor league rehab assignment as this big-time MVP and all this, and I was a quiet player that just didn't speak much, or just played, and that's like Rhino. And I learned that, oh, you can have a major league career and be kind of low-key and still do well, right? It was important for me to see that. And he did it just by not even saying a word. So, you know, you realize, like, coming full circle, that was such a great conversation. And I think also Prince Fielder. Like, I didn't know Prince that well, and I played against his dad, and he's at first base, and I walked, and I got to first. And he's a deep thinker, and he said, you know, I know this is an exhibition, but I just can't really turn it off. And I was like, you're right. It's impossible to turn it off because none of us can really turn it off. We compete. I think we just had a different mission of what we were trying to accomplish, but we were competing. And, you know, those conversations, not only, you know, Hall of Famers down to players that, you know, are after you, or Monet Davis is talking about what she's doing now as a grad student at Columbia University. I mean, it was like everywhere you turn, it wasn't just about baseball, right? It was a diversity of skills that support baseball that you have to evolve into when your career is done, and sometimes during your career. And they're doing great things all over the place. And that's what's so heartening about it.
Man, that's beautiful stuff. Doug, I envy the interactions and the weekend. I'm happy for you. You're feeling it from above and down to players that came after and everybody. And I look forward to you writing about it if you get a chance to. That's for sure. That's awesome. Doug, I want to leave you with some music. Like, we came in with Harold Melvin. This is James Brown's Cold Sweat Part 2, which is just the pure jam. And I don't know if I've ever shared this fact with you that I learned about James Brown as a dancer. Have I ever shared this with you?
No.
Okay.
I think so.
I think you'll love it. So when James Brown was a young man, he used to go and see baseball, the Indianapolis Clowns, the Kansas City Monarchs, Negro Leagues games. And he also loved Jackie Robinson. And when Jackie Robinson went in the big leagues, one of the things that James loved and thought was cool was when Jackie, as a first baseman, would stretch for the throws, right? And James thought it looked so cool that he incorporated it into his dance moves. So the splits, the famous splits that James Brown did in his dance moves, he stole from Jackie Robinson stretching at first base. Isn't that awesome?
Incredible.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. Absolutely awesome.
That's in James Brown's book, I Feel Good. I heard him talking about it once. But, like, just to tie the room together, just for you and me, Doug Glanville.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Love the music.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, man. Enjoy the game tonight. I hope you can survive Boog Shambi. He's a tough nut.
Will do.
All right. Thanks, Doug. All right. That's Doug Glanville from ESPN and Marquee. And anything that gives us an excuse to play James Brown is fine by me. Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Got some open phone lines if you want to talk about anything in that conversation. Feel free. Or anything you've been dying to get in on Cubs and Sox. I'm here until noon. We'll bring you a chunk of a really cool baseball interview we did earlier in the week as well. It's 670 The Score. It speaks with you on Hit and Run.
Get the drummers up!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sunday mornings on The Score.
1-0 from Kimbrel. Swing it a high fly ball straightaway center field. Kowser gets to the wall. He's at the fence, and he leaps in the air, and he made the catch! Oh, what a play! Colton Kowser rises above the line and pulls it back, denying Pham of a home run to finish the ball game. You won't find a better play from Colton Kowser anytime, anywhere than what he just did here in Chicago.
That was an awesome catch by Colton Kowser on Friday night. That's the Orioles radio call. Orioles TV is our friend Kevin Brown, friend of the PBP podcast, the great singer Kevin Brown. Who's doing Orioles radio play-by-play is the question. I don't know, but that's a hell of a call.
I'll look that up for us here in just a
second. That's a hell of a call by that individual. Very, very cool. Enjoyed that. And that is a really, really good young team with a lot of really good young players. And Colton Kowser is one of them. Just so, so many. My goodness. It was Jeff Arnold on the call. Hell of a call there, Jeff. Want to make sure we give you your flowers. The Orioles fans loving on that one. Sean, you were enjoying watching the reaction of that one on Friday night?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to see. I follow Alex Fast, who does a lot of graphics for ESPN. He's a big Orioles fan. And when Kowser made that catch, the memes were just flying out on Twitter. A lot of goofiness was coming from it. Eric Kowser. I didn't realize how much of like cow puns the Orioles have like leaned into. He's the milkman.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
You take that back. Herbert Perry is and forever will be the milkman.
And then there's also Melky Cabrera too, whose name is literally milk.
But it's milk.
Milk, E-L, yes.
And don't confuse that with malk, with vitamin R from The Simpsons as well. But yeah, so they're loving on Kowser.
Yeah, they like have a center field section called the pasture. It's funny. They moo him every time he comes up to play. And like Kowser's a good sport with it. He
sure.
Just leans into it. Yeah, he loves it.
That's tremendous. It's an entertaining young team. That game on Friday night, they had Garrett Crochet mic'd up. And Crochet getting ready to pitch today. He has obviously been absolutely phenomenal. By the way, there's a couple of games underway already as we are... As they have some of the early games now starting on Sunday as part of the new streaming package with the Sunday morning. Is it Tubi that's got the games? I think it is Tubi. Yeah, so the early morning Tubi games, or not Tubi. Or is it Roku? I think it might be Roku.
I think it's Roku, but you can get it through the Tubi app.
Okay.
Or something like that.
I don't know.
It's the Roku app, though.
I mean, like, it can be difficult to find unless you've got the universal remote with Xfinity and you just hit the C button and boom, you're on the sports app and you can find everything.
It's a life changer, isn't
it?
It really is.
Centralizing. Good job there, Xfinity.
Ours broke not too long ago. You don't realize how much you need it, man.
That's a sad story. It's a sad story that you just told me right there. So look, Garrett Crochet mic'd up on Friday night, and a lot of former White Sox pitchers out there pitching very well. Reynaldo Lopez pitching well for the Braves. Chris Sale, who goes today for the Braves. And, of course, Dylan Cease, who's rolling with the Padres. And Garrett Crochet says he still talks to his former teammate Dylan Cease.
Yeah, so obviously missing time with guys like Cease and Lynn, that was tough, and only having the 1 year with Rodon. But you know, those are guys that I definitely look to now when I'm doing my scouting report. Rodon and I feel have a very similar arsenal, so I'm able to kind of watch how he was attacking guys. Yeah, I mean, he faced the Orioles earlier this month, so I was kind of doing some homework on that outing. But yeah, me and Cease are still in contact, so I'm able to pick his brain. But I mean, we got some good veteran guys here too. Soroka was an all-star a couple years ago. Fetty obviously had an incredible year last year and is doing pretty solid for us this year. So, you know, just picking those guys' brains and kind of ironing out a routine that works for me.
Love that about baseball, still keeping friendships with former teammates and checking in and picking brains and learning as they can. Garrett Crochet was talking about some of the pitchers that he has molded himself after, some of the ones that he watched growing up.
Who did you look up to growing up? Because your stuff is elite. And even when you were in the bullpen, I was like, man, he has the characteristics of a starter that can get a lot of swing and miss.
Yeah, growing up, you know, Kershaw was obviously the guy. When it came to modeling my slider, I definitely looked to Chris Sale for that. And then, you know, as I got to college, you know, the comps started coming in for, like, draft comparisons, and I looked to Andrew Miller a little bit in that regard. So it was kind of across the board, you know. When I was in middle school and stuff like that, I wasn't really a huge baseball fan, you know. I was just kind of playing for the love of the game. But as I kind of started to see some growth and development, I definitely kind of latched onto those three guys.
Yeah, Andrew Miller's not one I would have thought of, but it makes sense with the slider because you can see the nastiness of Andrew Miller just being an absolute beast. And when he emerged as that multi-inning reliever for Terry Francona's Cleveland Indians at the time, it really changed the way that people thought about bullpens, people strategized about bullpens, and certainly thought that some left-handed hitters could work. By the way, in terms of Chris Sale, 7-1 with an ERA of 2.22. He's got more than 11 strikeouts per nine right now for the Atlanta Braves. And you've got fans in Boston wondering whether Craig Breslow made a mistake in the $10.5 million in savings that they picked up for Chris Sale. But I don't know if you get the same Sale in Boston that you're getting in Atlanta. Chris Sale is a volatile, emotional dude. Think about the disaster he caused in Worcester when he was making a rehab start, destroying everything down there. Think about the slicing of jerseys that happened as a member of the White Sox. And think about Sale as he's talking about being in Atlanta. I can't stress enough what this clubhouse is like. The energy that's in there, the guys, what everyone brings to the table, it's like going to play college summer baseball, just with brighter lights, says Chris Sale about life with the Braves. He's a real good fit for a really good clubhouse. Brian Snitker and all those dudes, man, that is a very good and healthy, vibrant clubhouse, even after the flameout in the postseason last year. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on 670 The Score. One of your favorite Twitter follows, or at least he should be, was a great interview this week. You'll hear from that and an ending of a game I'm told I need to hear. We'll get to all of that before the top of the hour right here on 670 The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Fly ball, left field, pretty well hit. Cave on the run toward the corner. It is gone! Opposite field, three-run home run! That ball just took off. It's a five-run ninth inning for the Phils.
Bryce Harper homers. The Phillies beat the Rockies. There have been four different four-run leads blown in the ninth inning. I believe it was on the season, and they've all been blown by the Rockies. They're the best. They really are. And when I say they're the best, I of course mean they're the worst. And when I say they're the worst, that's not really true, because the White Sox are the worst. White Sox are the worst team in baseball, but the Rockies can see it from there. As we look around the standings, the Colorado Rockies are 17-34 with a .333 winning percentage, better than only the Chicago White Sox, who are 15-38 with a .283 winning percentage. Their minus 113 run differential is by far the worst in MLB. Woof. Woof, woof. Couple things to get to here before we roll on Hit and Run. If you are on Twitter and not following Pitching Ninja, what are you doing? What are you doing? He has completely changed the way that we think about pitching and talk about pitching. And that's where I started in a rare opportunity to talk to Pitching Ninja on the Parkinson Spiegel Show on Friday.
Do you remember what the first multiple pitch overlay you ever saw was? Because what you have done and what how pervasive these have become has changed the way that we discuss baseball. For me, it was there was like five Yu Darvish pitches.
That's it.
Is that the one? Is that considered like the Mac Daddy of pitch overlay videos? Because it certainly changed my eyes.
Yeah, I would say that that probably is the one that got the most people thinking about it. They used it differently. So that was done just to show kind of, hey, isn't it cool? Yu Darvish throws all these pitches. And the way I took that is it spurred in my head, like tunneling's a big deal. And I wanted to show why pitchers, how they repeat their mechanics and how they tunnel their pitches that really defeat hitters. Like it makes hitters are hunting fastballs. If they think something's a fastball, most of the way to the plate, they're hosed if it's not. So I used it for that, but yes, the Yu Darvish one definitely is one that stood out in my mind as probably the first one that I saw and that's kind of spurred on why I thought that that would be a useful technique.
And it has changed the way that fans understand the game, hasn't it? The teams maybe were already there with tunneling and everything else, but you've catapulted discussions forward, I think.
Yeah, I think it's done a couple of things. One is, I mean, I've even heard, you know, my accounts, both, you know, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is, people said, you know, it's actually a hitting account because people don't yell at hitters anymore. Why did you swing at it? They know why they swung at it because it was, you know, hey, this pitch was tunneled with this pitch. So maybe they give a hitter a little bit of a break. Like hitting is really, really hard. It's tough to do. And I think also it helps some pitchers, especially guys growing up. Now everybody knows what tunneling was. I think back then it was probably more of a select few, but now pretty much everybody goes, okay, now I want to throw my slider just like I throw my fastball and start it out, like visualize it, because most people are visual learners.
We're talking to Rob Friedman. You know him as Pitching Ninja on the internet. He's one of the favorites for Cy Young. He's been a marvel to watch. We've heard how Craig Counsell and Tommy Hotovy and himself through his translator have talked about it. What do you see that's making Shota Imanaga so successful?
Dude, I love that guy. It's a number of different things. One is he pitches like a power pitcher with a 92 mile an hour fastball that I love. Hammers hitters with elevated heaters. He can do that because of a couple of different things. One, his height, you know, we used to be taught like pitchers had to be really tall to be successful and shorter guys didn't have a career in pitching. Well, it happens that if you can have a lot of induced vertical break, so your pitch tends to fight gravity more than other pitches, you come from a lower slot and you're shorter, when hitters are trying to swing slightly up, their swing path matches that pitch much shorter period of time. And Shota is almost perfect for that. He's actually better to pitch in the MLB than he was pitching in the NPB, which was focused more on throwing down in the zone and hitting your spot. He lets it eat. And the other thing that jumped out, like, dude has a humongous personality. Freaking love that guy. Like, you can't take your eyes off him when he's on the mound. So the confidence and then just attacking hitters and then, you know, a lefty splitter, not a lot of people see it. So that combined with that fastball that's very unique means he's going to be a tough day for guys.
Well, that's great stuff. Yeah, we saw he was fun right away. We didn't know he'd be this good. Go back to that fastball. Historically, or in the game now, who are we talking about? Short guys with big fastballs that had that had a lot of carry. You know, that absence of drop. Roy Oswalt, Billy Wagner. Who are we talking about here, Rob?
So you have a guy like Craig Kimbrell, for example. I think it all kind of opened everybody's eyes. Like, you know, everybody throws kind of hard, but Craig Kimbrell's fastball was unhittable. And it wasn't like, you know, 103, it was, you know, 98, 99, but it played better than that. So people started saying, you know, hey, low arm slot, ball tends to carry off of it. What is there to that? And I think he really opened everybody's eyes to that. Josh Hader's another guy, lower arm slot, ball tends to rise and work well up in the zone. But those guys throw harder. Back in the day, there was guys like Sid Fernandez who didn't throw hard, but he could live up in the zone. Everybody's like, we used to call it invisible. We didn't know why people couldn't hit it. We just knew they couldn't. Now we kind of know why they can't hit it. So when you're scouting, the Cubs did a fantastic job. Look, I don't think anybody knew how good Shota was going to be. And look what you got.
he's throwing almost all fastball and splitter, like occasional curveball to steal a strike early in a count. Do you think he'll need to diversify as the season goes on and batters know him, or is he going to be able to live with this?
That's the open question. I think his sweeper is also nasty. I've seen home plate views of it, and it's really underrated, but why go to that when you can live with two pitches that you can control? I don't know. I think that's open because he's unique, so it takes hitters a bunch of times to adjust, but hitters are good. They'll notice that, hey, we're swinging under the ball. We may want to not give up on it, but he still can keep him off the fastball with a splitter too.
That is Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja. Loved that opportunity to talk about him. And I wasn't sure, but now we know that Yu Darvish five-pitch overlay was patient zero of the pitching overlay craze that has taken over pitching conversation online. Hey, tonight the Cubs continue their series against Cardinals. The only local broadcast of this one is right here on The Score. Pregame coverage starts at 5:35 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 6:10 p.m. Reminder, you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. All right, the Danville Dairy Daddies is a minor league baseball team, and Danville, I mean, they go crazy in Danville, Virginia, for the Danville Dairy Daddies. I'll tell you when they really go crazy is when they go to the seventh inning, trailing 11-0. Then they head to the eighth inning, tied at 11. And the cow puns, the milk puns are starting to fly. And we get to the later extra innings, right? This is an extras we get all the way to?
I think it's actually just the ninth.
It's the ninth. We just get to the ninth, and they're looking to outscore the opposition, who has 15 runs at that point.
The umpire stood up. It's three balls and one strike.
Yeah, he just gets ready to go.
Three balls and one strike. The pitch by Wells. A bouncer into right field! Here comes the tying run! The throw! It goes over! Here comes the wonderful third! It is Yellowtown! The Danville Dairy Daddies have walked it off! The Dairy Daddies have won the game! 16-15! The most impressive comeback in organizational history!
The Danville Dairy Daddies. Get milked is their slogan. You too could get a t-shirt that says get milked from the Danville Dairy Daddies. I love minor league baseball names, hats. I mean, there's so many good ones out there. I don't know if I'll be getting a Dairy Daddies t-shirt, but I do appreciate getting to know them. And, you know, who wouldn't if you're on that team? Want to get milked.
Where the cream flows like water.
Oh. Just phenomenal. Shota Imanaga is skipped by the Cubs this time around. He'll go on Wednesday as they try to get him under control in terms of the innings goal. Remember, he threw 159 innings last year in Japan. They want to get him to around 170 or so. That's the goal. That's why they talked about possibly a six-man rotation. This skip accomplishes the same kind of thing with the opportunity coming up with the schedule with an off day coming soon. And you have that that rain out from Friday night. I'm bummed for my friend Joe Buck. He was dying to do a ball game. Big plans. Did a ton of media last week to get ready for it. And then Friday night was going to be on MLB Network, him and Chip Carey, and instead they got to do rain delay theater for a while. And it was still fun at the old ballpark, but did not actually get to do a ball game. That's too bad. By the way, on my podcast, the PBP Voices of Baseball this week, Corey Provis, it's a really good episode. I like Corey a lot. Really enjoyed the conversation. That man made me laugh quite a bit. You might remember Corey from his days with Pat Hughes and Ron Santo on the Cubs broadcast. Then he went to Milwaukee, worked with Bob Uecker for a long time. Then to Minnesota as the radio guy, and now the TV broadcaster for the Twins. Some incredible stuff in there. You can find the PBP Voices of Baseball podcast anywhere that you get your podcast. You can just search Voices of Baseball and it'll pop up. The Corey Provis episode is really, really fun. It'll be Cubs and Cardinals tonight. Javier Assad against Sonny Gray. Good pitching matchup in this one. Again, pregame at 5:35. The White Sox and the Orioles. Kyle Bradish against Garrett Crochet. That coming up at 1:10 this afternoon. Have a wonderful day. Stay dry, everyone. It is rainy and looks snoozy out there. Looks like a really good couch day. Really good couch day. Thank you for all of the veterans who have served and helped preserve our freedoms. Navy veteran Jim in Steger, frequent listener and texter to the show, checked in and reminded us of that focus, and that is appreciated. CBS Sports Radio is coming up next. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job on the show. Thank you to Steve Stone and to Doug Glanville. Remember, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app if you miss Glanville or Stoney. Go ahead and rewind on the app. They were both very entertaining today. Have a wonderful Sunday. No Parker than Spiegel tomorrow. We'll be back on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Matt Spiegel.
Cave on the run toward the corner. It is gone! Opposite field, three-run home run! That ball just took off. It's a five-run ninth inning for the Phils.
Bryce Harper homers. The Phillies beat the Rockies. There have been four different four-run leads blown in the ninth inning, I believe it was on the season, and they've all been blown by the Rockies. They're the best. They really are. And when I say they're the best, I of course mean they're the worst. And when I say they're the worst, that's not really true, because the White Sox are the worst. White Sox are the worst team in baseball, but the Rockies can see it from there. As we look around the standings, the Colorado Rockies are 17-34 with a .333 winning percentage, better than only the Chicago White Sox, who are 15-38 with a .283 winning percentage. Their minus 113 run differential is by far the worst in MLB. Woof, woof, woof. Couple things to get to here before we roll on Hit and Run. If you are on Twitter and not following Pitching Ninja, what are you doing? What are you doing? He has completely changed the way that we think about pitching and talk about pitching. And that's where I started in a rare opportunity to talk to Pitching Ninja on the Parkins and Spiegel show on Friday.
Do you remember what the first multiple pitch overlay
you ever saw was, because what you have done and what how pervasive these have become has changed the way that we discuss baseball. For me, it was there was like five Yu Darvish pitches.
That's it.
Is that the one? Is that considered like the Mac Daddy of pitch overlay videos? Because it certainly changed my eyes.
Yeah, I would say that that probably is the one that got the most people thinking about it. They used it differently. So that was done just to show kind of, hey, isn't it cool? Yu Darvish throws all these pitches. And the way I took that is it spurred in my head, like tunneling's a big deal. And I wanted to show why pitchers, how they repeat their mechanics and how they tunnel their pitches that really defeat hitters. Like it makes hitters are hunting fastballs. If they think something's a fastball, most of the way to the plate, they're hosed if it's not. So I used it for that, but yes, the Yu Darvish one definitely is one that stood out in my mind as probably the first one that I saw and that kind of spurred on why I thought that that would be a useful technique.
And it has changed the way that fans understand the game, hasn't it? The teams maybe were already there with tunneling and everything else, but you've catapulted discussions forward, I think.
Yeah, I think it's done a couple of things. One is, I mean, I've even heard, you know, my accounts, both YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is, people said, you know, it's actually a hitting account because people don't yell at hitters anymore. Why did you swing at it? They know why they swung at it because it was, you know, hey, this pitch was tunneled with this pitch. So maybe they give a hitter a little bit of a break. Like hitting is really, really hard. It's tough to do. And I think also it helps some pitchers, especially guys growing up. Now everybody knows what tunneling was. I think back then it was probably more of a select few, but now pretty much everybody goes, okay, now I want to throw my slider just like I throw my fastball and start it out, like visualize it, because most people are visual learners.
We're talking to Rob Friedman. You know him as Pitching Ninja on the internet. He's one of the favorites for Cy Young. He's been a marvel to watch. We've heard how Craig Counsell and Tommy Hotovy and himself through his translator have talked about it. What do you see that's making Shota Imanaga so successful?
Dude, I love that guy. It's a number of different things. One is he pitches like a power pitcher with a 92 mile an hour fastball that I love. Hammers hitters with elevated heaters. He can do that because of a couple of different things. One, his height, you know, we used to be taught like pitchers had to be really tall to be successful and shorter guys didn't have a career in pitching. Well, it happens that if you can have a lot of induced vertical break, so your pitch tends to fight gravity more than other pitches, you come from a lower slot and you're shorter, when hitters are trying to swing slightly up, their swing path matches that pitch much shorter period of time. And Shota is almost perfect for that. He's actually better to pitch in the MLB than he was pitching in the NPB, which was focused more on throwing down in the zone and hitting your spot. He lets it eat. And the other thing that jumped out, like, dude has a humongous personality. Freaking love that guy. Like, you can't take your eyes off him when he's on the mound. So the confidence and then just attacking hitters and then, a lefty splitter, not a lot of people see it. So that combined with that fastball that's very unique means he's going to be a tough day for guys.
Well, that's great stuff. Yeah, we saw he was fun right away. We didn't know he'd be this good. Go back to that fastball. Historically, or in the game now, who are we talking about? Short guys with big fastballs that had that had a lot of carry, that absence of drop. Roy Oswalt? Billy Wagner? Who are we talking about here, Rob?
So you have a guy like Craig Kimbrell, for example. I think it all kind of opened everybody's eyes. Like, you know, everybody throws kind of hard, but Craig Kimbrell's fastball was unhittable. And it wasn't like, 103, it was 98, 99, but it played better than that. So people started saying, hey, low arm slot, ball tends to carry off of it. What is there to that? And I think he really opened everybody's eyes to that. Josh Hader's another guy, lower arm slot, ball tends to rise and work well up in the zone. But those guys throw harder. Back in the day, there was guys like Sid Fernandez who didn't throw hard, but he could live up in the zone. Everybody's like, we used to call it invisible. We didn't know why people couldn't hit it. We just knew they couldn't. Now we kind of know why they can't hit it. So when you're scouting, the Cubs did a fantastic job. Look, I don't think anybody knew how good Shota was going to be. And look what you got.
He's throwing almost all fastball and splitter, like occasional curveball to steal a strike early in a count. Do you think he'll need to diversify as the season goes on and batters know him, or is he going to be able to live with this?
That's the open question. I think his sweeper is also nasty. I've seen home plate views of it, and it's really underrated. But why go to that when you can live with two pitches that you can control? I don't know. I think that's open because he's unique. So it takes hitters a bunch of times to adjust. But hitters are good. They'll notice that, hey, we're swinging under the ball. We may want to not give up on it. But he still can keep him off the fastball with a splitter, too.
That is Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja. Loved that opportunity to talk about him. And I wasn't sure, but now we know that Yu Darvish five-pitch overlay was patient zero of the pitching overlay craze that has taken over pitching conversation online. Hey, tonight the Cubs continue their series against the Cardinals. The only local broadcast of this one is right here on the Score. Pregame coverage starts at 5:35 with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call for first pitch at 6:10 p.m. Reminder, you can listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. All right, the Danville Dairy Daddies is a minor league baseball team, and Danville, I mean, they go crazy in Danville, Virginia, for the Danville Dairy Daddies. I'll tell you when they really go crazy is when they go to the seventh inning, trailing 11-0. Then they head to the eighth inning, tied at 11, and the cow puns, the milk puns are starting to fly, and we get to the later extra innings, right? This is an extras we get all the way to?
I think it's actually just the ninth.
It's the ninth. We just get to the ninth, and they're looking to outscore the opposition, who has 15 runs at that point.
The umpire stood up. It's 3-1.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go.
3-1. The pitch by Wells. A bouncer in the right field! Here comes the tying run! The throw! It goes over! Here comes the wonderful third! It is no return! The Danville Dairy Daddies have walked it off! The Dairy Daddies have won the game! 16-15! The most impressive comeback in organizational history!
The Danville Dairy Daddies. Get milked is their slogan. You too could get a t-shirt that says get milked from the Danville Dairy Daddies. I love minor league baseball. Names, hats. I mean, there's so many good ones out there. I don't know if I'll be getting a Dairy Daddies t-shirt, but I do appreciate getting to know them. And, you know, who wouldn't if you're on that team want to get milked?
Where the cream flows like water.
Oh. Just phenomenal. Shota Imanaga is skipped by the Cubs this time around. He'll go on Wednesday as they try to get him under control in terms of the innings goal. Remember, he threw 159 innings last year in Japan. They want to get him to around 170 or so. That's the goal. That's why they talked about possibly a six-man rotation. This skip accomplishes the same kind of thing with the opportunity coming up with the schedule with an off day coming soon. And you have that rain out from Friday night. I'm bummed for my friend Joe Buck. He was dying to do a ball game. Big plans. Did a ton of media last week to get ready for it. And then Friday night was going to be on MLB Network, him and Chip Carey, and instead they got to do rain delay theater for a while. And it was still fun at the old ballpark, but did not actually get to do a ball game. That's too bad. By the way, on my podcast, the PBP Voices of Baseball this week, Corey Provis, it's a really good episode. I like Corey a lot. Really enjoyed the conversation. That man made me laugh quite a bit. You might remember Corey from his days with Pat Hughes and Ron Santo on the Cubs broadcast. Then he went to Milwaukee, worked with Bob Uecker for a long time. Then to Minnesota as the radio guy, and now the TV broadcaster for the Twins. Some incredible stuff in there. You can find the PBP, Voices of Baseball podcast, anywhere that you get your podcast. You can just search Voices of Baseball and it'll pop up. The Corey Provis episode is really, really fun.
It'll be Cubs and Cardinals tonight. Javier Assad against Sonny Gray. Good pitching matchup in this one. Again, pregame at 5:35. The White Sox and the Orioles. Kyle Bradish against Garrett Crochet. That coming up at 1:10 this afternoon. Have a wonderful day. Stay dry, everyone. It is rainy and looks snoozy out there. Looks like a really good couch day. Really good couch day. Thank you for all of the veterans who have served and helped preserve our freedoms. Navy veteran Jim in Steger, frequent listener and texter to the show, checked in and reminded us of that focus, and that is appreciated. CBS Sports Radio is coming up next. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job on the show. Thank you to Steve Stone and to Doug Glanville. Remember, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app if you miss Glanville or Stoney. Go ahead and rewind on the app. They were both very entertaining today. Have a wonderful Sunday. No Parker than Spiegel tomorrow. We'll be back on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.